Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. I am delighted to have you as our listening audience, and keep in mind, this broadcast is designed around you, our listener. We invite you to call in and participate in the dialogue and the discussion. You can do so by dialing 401-1413. 904-401-1413 gets you in through to the studio and right to the microphone that we can have a dialogue and discussion together on the issue we're going to be talking about today, freedom of speech and religious liberty. Freedom of speech and religious liberty. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as I always do, that when we come to this microphone and talk about issues, we do so not based on ideological or philosophical rhetoric, but based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. God's Word is the first, final, and the foremost say-so on that which we discuss in relationship to the home, to government, and to the church. God created the three institutions, and he did so in that order. He created the home, then he created government, and then he gave us the church. And so anything we discuss in relationship to what many call political speech, it is simply biblical speech. Anything we discuss relative to ideology found in the scripture, theology, doctrine, is found in the scripture. And so therefore we have that right and authority to do so based on the Word of God. I don't believe it should be on the basis of denominational distinctives or the rites and the rules and the regulations and the rituals, but based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, he said that to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, but he made a declaratory statement about the Word of God in John 17, 17, where the Lord Jesus said, thy word is truth. And so it is not a matter of philosophy or feeling. It's a matter of what is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited to talk about some of the issues that we're faced with in society. We're going to be discussing in just a moment. I'll have a brief monologue. And after our monologue, I'm going to be introducing our guest that we're going to be interviewing and talking with today. We'll be talking about Jack Phillips and the 7-2 victory where the Supreme Court ruling yesterday about his cake shop and his bakery and his baking cakes and refusing to do so for the sodomite couple that came in and tried to pressure him to do so a few years back. He's been prosecuted and persecuted now for about 6 years plus simply because of his faith and stand on the Lordship of Jesus Christ and what God would have him to do. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about the issue with Jack Phillips and his cake shop in Colorado, it is amazing to me that so often we have those that think that somehow, some way, we can circumvent or contravene that which is found in our Constitution. In fact, the First Amendment says, Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or press. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the key issue that we want to talk about today is the freedom of speech and religious liberties. But I want us to understand, so often there's a, in fact, more often than not in society in which we're living today, there's a bifurcation of truth, and there's a sense that there should be freedoms for some and the contravening of that freedom for others. But may I remind us, the right of we the people for freedom of speech, ladies and gentlemen, if we remove the First Amendment, if we foreclose the First Amendment, if we prevent the First Amendment, the religious liberties and freedom of speech, we may as well just cast all of the other amendments into the garbage can and take our Constitution and shred it. because without the First Amendment, it is that which everything else is built upon. And so we have religious freedom today, freedom of speech, and this religious right is not just for the non-Christian. This religious right, this religious freedom, is not just to protect the LGBT community. In fact, they keep on with the acronym LGBTQI, and they go with it. In fact, I was frightened to discover recently that supposedly there's something like over 100 genders based on the new modern philosophy about taking the two sexes away, the two genders that God gave us, male and female. God didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. And so there are two genders, and yet we find those in society today, especially in the sodomite community, when it comes to marriage and bathrooms and cake baking and photography and sodomite weddings, there's a mindset somehow that they're the only ones that have the right of way in society. The example of that is Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado, where Jack Phillips, a Christian, said no to a sodomite couple that he could not use his artistic talent as a Christian to design cakes that conflict with his Christian values and Christian belief. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the essence of it. Then we'll introduce our guest today. Here's the background, basically in a nutshell. Jack Phillips is a Colorado baker who refused to make a custom wedding cake for a gay couple because of his Christian faith. Phillips does not design cakes for any event that conflicts with his Christian values or beliefs. He believes he has the right to do this according to the First Amendment. However, even if he does not design a custom cake for a customer, he offers any baked goods or pre-made cakes to anyone who enters his shop. I don't see how you can be any more forthcoming and forthright than that. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution took place for over a period of 7 years. And with the ruling yesterday, the 7-2 ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court, Justice Anthony Kennedy said the Colorado Civil Rights Commission showed animus toward Phillips, specifically when they suggested his claim of religious freedom was made to justify his discrimination. So, ladies and gentlemen, I feel that Jack Phillips has been done wrong based on our Constitution, especially when you find across the nation during the past 5 or 6, 7 years when this persecution of Jack Phillips as his Christian faith was being persecuted and prosecuted, filing bankruptcy in his business and losing his livelihood, still with a little small modicum of cake baking going on. He had 10 employees. He's down to just 4 simply because of doing what he felt was right in honoring God. But ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today our guest at the microphone. We welcome Daryl Kane. Daryl, thank you for being with us for Let's Face the Issues today. Ladies and gentlemen, Daryl is a political activist. He's a public speaker, radio personality, author, and presidential candidate for 2024. His book entitled Cultural Cancer, Treating the Disease of Political Correctness. Daryl, delighted to have you on the microphone today. Tell us something about what you're doing, and you're familiar with what just took place with the 7-2 decision by the Supreme Court yesterday. Give us a little insight about yourself, what you're doing, why you're doing it, what your motivations are, and what you think about this 7-2 ruling by the Supreme Court yesterday.
Well, first off, I have to say it's just a tremendous honor to be a guest of yours. I had the privilege of attending your beautiful Sunday service, and it is the finest service I've ever attended. I encourage all of your listeners to take time to come down and listen to it when available. The hearing, the decision, the 7-2 ruling, and this was, I don't know if you were following the news stories, reported as a narrow victory. Really should have been 9-0. It's concerning that, to me, that it wasn't 9-0. We have a situation in this country with religious liberty where, like most things, it's quite literally being used in quite the opposite way as it was intended. Religious liberty was intended to protect Christians from government and is now being used as an excuse by government to persecute Christians. And, you know, as we talked about prior to this, uniquely being applied to Christians, we don't hear about Islamic bakers, for example, facing these types of situations. And in fact, there are numerous Islamic bakers around the country, you know, that do not participate in this. And we run into these sort of conflicting narratives with the left where, you know, you see something like Islam, which is essentially, you know, if the left stands for the LGBT community or however, whatever they define themselves as these days, obviously Islam goes to the extreme, whereas Christians, we condemn the lifestyle and, you know, we encourage a removal of it. You know, Islamic response to that is execution and being thrown off of buildings. And it begs the question as to why the Islamic community is given carte blanche. And I think that when you run up against these inconsistencies, the only conclusion that you can reach is that the left is – that their overarching principle is destabilizing Western civilization, Christian culture, and above all else, they'll use any opportunity that they can to come after us.
Well said. In fact, we've got a caller on the line, but we'll get with him in just one moment. But well said, Daryl. In fact, I'm amazed at these folks that say it's a narrowly defined decision.
Right.
I've read the decision completely, and though they may view that as narrowly defined, it is an explosive decision that even when your moderate and liberal judges joined in the decision, I'm absolutely surprised and yet wonderfully pleased with that decision, because even though it's narrowly defined in that, yep, it goes back to the Colorado Civil Rights Commission and the chiding of them for what they've done illegally and wrong. In fact, Judge Kennedy made some very, very abrasive statements about that in his ruling. But yet I find the broadness of that is all-encompassing. In fact, there'll be a decision that the same Supreme Court will have to make Thursday of this week in reference to a flower shop, a Christian flower shop individual in the state of Washington, where she did the same thing, refused to do a wedding for a sodomite couple. And as a result of that, she's been persecuted, fined $135,000, several hundred thousand dollars it's cost her thus far. And the Supreme Court will decide, and it needs four votes on the Supreme Court to do so, whether or not they will hear her case. And I believe it's the opening of Pandora's box that will ultimately get some modicum of relief for the Christians. Greg, I believe you're on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment. We're talking with Daryl Kane today. Love to have you join in the dialogue and discussion.
Well, I thank you for your words, Dr. Youngblood. I thank you for picking on the topic today. It's amazing to me, in the midst of this decision, of course, that they called narrowly defined, if you read the complete concurring opinion by Gorsuch and Thomas, I mean, they start out very clearly up front saying that this is apparently hostility toward Philip's religion. And make no mistake, his religion is Christianity. If the shoe were on the other foot, how does it turn out? I mean, on that Shabbat.com, they show where 13, they call them gay bakers, refused to produce a cake for a traditional marriage or traditional family celebration. 13 of them. So if the shoe's on the other foot, would there be such hostility by government toward the 13 gay bakers that have, in their opinion, you know, violated someone's civil rights by saying, we can't do this? You don't see any gay bakers being pursued. And of course, like Daryl just mentioned, you don't see the line of cases like Muslim bakers. This is targeting, and it is definitively targeting Christianity. And to me, it seems, you know, the left, as they scream for tolerance, that's been their rally cry for more than a decade. They scream for tolerance. They scream for tolerance at the same time that they're targeting Christians and conservatives. It doesn't make any sense.
Yes, in fact, Greg, it's...
We always talk about the hypocrisy of the left.
Yes, it's something that's fascinating to me, because the Supreme Court ruling in part of their statements is whatever the confluence of speech and free exercise principles might be in the case, some cases, quote, the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, consideration of this case was inconsistent with the state's obligation of religious neutrality. And that is the fact that most are not looking at, is the state should be neutral. The government should be neutral in religion and in religious free speech. So I am delighted that we have now some modicum of relief that is found in this decision.
Yeah, and one of the theses of my book, Cultural Cancer, Treating the Disease of Political Correctness, I really try and unpack that topic of what is political correctness. And what you find with it is you find that unilaterally across the board, it is a set of values that are exactly 180 degrees diametrically opposed to our traditional Judeo-Christian values. To me, that's Satanism. And what we're seeing here from the left is the institution of what I refer to as a satanic theocracy. Whereas, you know, for a long time, we viewed liberalism as sort of moral relativism. Everything's the same. Everything's okay. It's actually much more frightening than that. It's actually a new hierarchy that sets ugliness as the top and puts godliness and beauty all the way on the bottom.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Yeah. It is the reverse spectrum, a total tectonic change in what we had in our founding fathers and our documents, our Constitution, that we are finding today with society as it is found. Greg, what else can you add to the conversation in relationship to the 7-2 decision? Where do you think it's going? I listened to, and Mike Huckabee, a good guy, great guy. Mike Huckabee was very, very, I don't necessarily say negative, but Mike was playing it down heavily, heavily. He said, we must recognize, and he was warning the Christians, recognize this is a very, very narrowly focused and a very small, small decision, and it cannot have major, major implications. I counter that. I think that it is a major, major first step toward reversing the cultural dynamics as we found today.
Well, I am thankful from one perspective. That is, it's the angel in the room. We have a president that, through his appointment, I believe we had a positive influence on a court when it comes to preserving our constitutional rights and liberties. And if we had seen a different person enter the White House as related to the 2016 election, tons of these positive things we would not see today. So I'm thankful for the person that resides in the White House today and a lot of the decisions that are being made. I hope that we see a restoration of religious liberty in this country, and I hope that the rule of law prevails. You know, obviously, in this particular case, your lesser courts had obviously completely opposite decisions, opinions in this particular case, and it's going to take a lot to recover from the bad decisions of the past. Of course, we've been living through the bad decision of Roe v. Wade for all these many years. They lived through bad decisions dealing with slavery. We've dealt with bad decisions dealing with prayer or Bibles in schools. Were there since the early 60s, I think 62 was at the Abington Township v. Shimp or Shimp v. Abington Township case, where we removed that little prayer from the school, and we've been on a moral decline ever since. It takes a lot to turn this huge ship of state around. I think we have slowed down the leftist, not progress, but digression toward perdition. We have slowed down that ship, and I hope to see the ship turn and for our Constitution to recover.
Yes. In fact, I found one article which says Supreme Court verdict, Colorado's hostile to Christians. I made a little marginal note. Colorado is very hostile to Christians. Colorado's hostile to the family. With the crime, all elements of crime have gone up 546% in the state of Colorado in the past 3 years since they legalized marijuana. And now it's just been discovered that the black market of marijuana has gone up several thousand percent as a result of the legalization of marijuana, and it's destroying lives by the thousands.
Disgusting.
And it is very, very disgusting to see that, because it shows you the state of Colorado. And by the way, the 29 other states that have legalized marijuana, the state of Florida has. And we're just now seeing the opening of Pandora's box in the state of Florida as to what's going to be the future as a result of it. But getting back to this with the 7-2 verdict, this article says, government's hostility toward people of faith has no place in our society. Yet the state of Colorado was openly antagonistic toward Jack's religious beliefs about marriage. That was a statement by the Alliance Defending Freedom attorney that represented him. Daryl, tell us a little more about your passion and what you're wanting to do, and join that with the discussion, the dialogue we're having today about the 7-2 decision by the Supreme Court on Jack Phillips and his cake shop.
Yeah, well, I think that really what I'm about, and I think that, Greg touched on this, and that, you know, we're slowing things down. But we haven't actually turned the ship around. And I think that as a conservative movement for so long, we've been fighting for neutral. And we have to learn, we have to untrain ourselves from that mindset. of just restoring neutrality. Because right now, the country, the civilization, the trends in place, the ship is sinking. And it is not enough to, you know, simply remove the boots from our throats. We have to actually take proactive leadership and apply it across the board to restoring our cultural identity and the fabric of our nation, our Judeo-Christian background. So the things that I'm in favor of, you know, my platform for 2024 are very strong. I mean, one of my big things, academic reform starts with prosecution. Okay, you talk about this gender identity topic. When you tell a prepubescent child, well before they're old enough to have a sexual identity, that gender is a theory and it's a choice, and you encourage them to make these bizarre choices in the classroom, that's an act of sexual abuse against minors. And that's how I define that.
Absolutely.
And it needs to be treated as such. And the executive branch needs to set the tone for that. You know, what we have going on in Hollywood is equally appalling. You know, I would send we need boots on the ground, the American people. I mean, what we have 24/7 round clock, just satanic values being rammed down our throats. You know, they need to be prosecuted and investigated for pedophilia, communism, and treason. We need to clean up the culture. We need to institute meaningful standards to video games, music, movies. The concept of artistic liberty has been completely abused. We need to ban pornography, okay? The left is so – anytime there's one of these – and one thing I give them credit for, they're so much better at using events to fit their narratives. So to me, when the left comes at me with, you know, how many of these tragedies are you going to endure before you're going to be willing to look at the Second Amendment, I'm going to turn right back at them and say, how many of these are you going to endure before you're willing to look at the impact of the cultural garbage that you've created in this country, the breakdown of the family, all of these things. These are the things that are leading to the antisocial tendencies in young men, and we need to proactively clean these things up. And I know that these ideas don't go well with the younger libertarian strain, but that's frankly not enough, okay? Simply taking our foot off the gas as we're driving to the cliff is just not enough. We have to actually turn this thing around, and that's going to take tough, strong leadership.
Absolutely. In fact, you touched on an element that I'm so passionate about, and that is the realization and the recognition that when we have these massacres taking place in our school systems with the young kids going in, it's not simply because they have a weapon. It's not because we have the Second Amendment right. It's simply because of the deterioration and the cancer that we find in society that's destroying the minds and the hearts. That these kids come in, they've been watching video games that are shooting everybody on the planet 24/7. They've been told in the classroom that God didn't create them. They've been told that God doesn't exist. They've been told that religion or Christianity is a myth, et cetera, et cetera. And so why shouldn't they do what they're doing in massacring others?
Correct. We have rampant social chaos.
Yes.
You know, and you look across the country, and I've driven from one side of the country to the next, and you see it in every state, in every city. People don't know where they came from, and they don't know where they're going. And that's deliberate. That's because the left has ripped all of those things out. You know, we take a concept like same-sex marriage, and, you know, which is viewed as an issue of tolerance. But the family unit, the fundamental mother and father household, is the basic building block of any civilization. And, you know, to me, I've always stated that two consenting adults are free to do as they see fit. But when you infringe upon others, that's where the line is drawn.
Absolutely.
And when you redefine the family unit and you say that a father and a father is equivalent to a mother and a father, you have now superseded the rights of children to have a mother and a father as their basic biological realities dictate. You've given that right over to the right of a same-sex couple to experience something, a parenthood that they would never experience in nature. And, you know, these things, these are the little things that have been building up that lead us to a situation that, for example, the welfare state. I mean, one of the most damaging things was the intact household removal, that there used to be a requirement that in order to receive government assistance, you had to be putting forth a good faith effort. You had to be maintaining a family structure.
Yes.
When we removed that, we essentially started bankrolling defunct single mother households. And, you know, a lot of people get really hot when you talk about this, you know, because their parents were divorced or they have a nephew that's involved in these lifestyles. And, you know, that's the plan of the left, is they want for the chaos to touch everybody. They want for everybody out there to have some level of dysfunction that they're personally involved in. And then that therefore they would feel that they are therefore obligated to justify these things. We're at a point now where we need to recognize that the buck stops here. You know, I didn't have a perfect upbringing. I came from a broken home. But I have the maturity to step back and say that even though I came from this and I love both my parents, they both did the best that they could for me, I recognize that this is not something that's good for society at large. And we have to have the courage to stand up and say, I love all of you, but I want to encourage positive behavior instead of negative behavior.
Absolutely.
And everything has been set around encouraging negative behavior.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're interviewing today Daryl Kane. Daryl Kane is a political activist. He's a public speaker, radio personality, author and president of and candidate for author and candidate for presidency in 2020. His book entitled
2024.
Cultural Counter-
2024. We're going to let Trump 2024. Pray for,
yes,
for the next 6
Trump's
years.
Trump's going to do 8 years. 2024. And he's written the book Cultural Cancer: Treating the Disease of Political Correctness. And Greg has been tuned in, joining in the dialogue and discussion. You still have a moment to call 904-401-1413 if you want to enter this discussion. Greg, you've heard Daryl's statements. What are some of the questions you'd have for him? And then we'll get him to give our listening audience some information on how they can reach him by email, website, etc., to join in the movement and see what God does with it in directing our nation.
No question for Daryl. May your tribe increase, though. I am proud. I'm thankful for your stand. I'm thankful for your articulate stand. As well, encouraging folks, we are engaged in a battle for our culture. Men and women of faith must stand up, speak the truth in love, know what truth is. Truth is fidelity to the original. Know your Bible, know your Constitution, read those simple four pages, analyze what the Federalist Papers had to say, analyze what our Founding Fathers had to say, and put it into practice so you know how to take a stand. You know, we're looking at this decision, but we need to realize, just like you talk about definitions, the definition of marriage, there's no authority in Article 3 for the Supreme Court or any other court to redefine a word. When a word has a meaning, it has a particular definition. You apply the definition. You don't redefine the word. They redefined the word marriage. Do we not realize how devastating that can be a culture when things don't mean what they really mean? If we change the definition of a foot, would that affect contracts across the United States? Yes. Would that be devastating to our culture? Yes. Well, they redefined the core building block of our culture.
Exactly.
They don't have
That's
the authority.
Good.
There's no Article 1 or Article 2 authority for the legislature or the President of the United States to redefine words. Why in the world do we allow these things to happen? We must stand and speak the truth and love and put this system back into a constitutionally restrained boundary.
Absolutely.
God
Thank
bless
you so
Greg.
Much for those statements. Daryl, in the final 30 seconds that we've got, let the people know how they can reach you, how they can contact you, look at your website or email address to join in the dialogue and the discussion.
So I will be speaking at Freedom Fest next month. My podcast, Right Wing Road Trip with Daryl Kane, we're on off season right now. Editor at RevengeOfThePatriot.com. Feel free to reach out to me. I'm available on social media. I'm happy to send you a copy of my book. I did not write it to make money. I go across the country, particularly at schools, to talk about these important issues. It's been an honor.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again tomorrow on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.